I want to begin by saying that it's a great schus, and this schus just keeps to every year. The years that I've been in yeshiva seems to be getting greater and greater to see more talmidim come back to yeshiva and literally light the yeshiva up, be mechazek the yeshiva in terms of coming and learning and showing the boys in yeshiva now and the rebbeim how lucky and how proud we should be. What the yeshiva is doing, it's great to see you guys here and to see you doing what you are doing. It's nachas ruach for the rebbeim, for the yeshiva, for the rosh yeshiva, and it's great. It's really great to see all you guys. It's also a great schus to learn some Torah with you and to try to work on something today that I think is important for everybody, no matter where they're up to in life. I was going to give a parasha shiur. But I figured that instead of giving a parasha shiur, I would talk about something that is, I think, very, very important for everyone where we are. Not that the parasha is not important, but I feel like the topic that I chose is a davar hashava l'chol nefesh, regardless of where we find ourselves in life, what stage we find ourselves in life in, and I think it's something that we could all use chizuk in. The topic that I want to talk about today is the topic of seder. Seder in the sense of order. Seder in the sense of living life and going through life with a seder. And I want to just begin by talking about the importance, the tremendous importance of seder and why really I chose this topic to speak about. I was talking to Refuge before. He mentioned to me the following mashal. And I'll give you another mashal in a few minutes. But the mashal he gave me was the following thing. Before GPSs in the world, there were maps. They're probably going to be extinct pretty soon, maps, but there's something called a map. Now, maps, basically, as we know, tell us how to get from point A to point B. They tell us about the geography of a certain places, whatever place we're looking for. Imagine if we had a map, and instead of using the map, we would take all the map, all the information on the map, and put it into sentences. And just say, the green part of the map, and the yellow part of the map, and the red part of the map, and the black part of the map, And this is road number 70, and this is road number route 4, and this is the GW bridge, and this is whatever it is. That's close to home, whatever it is, good. And this is 878 for the shout-out for the Far Rockaway, however good, whatever it is. Imagine you'd say that, put that into words. How helpful would that be? And the answer is it would not be helpful at all. A map in words basically is a big mishkababble that may make sense in words, but in terms of lemaisa, in terms of being able to utilize it and make it useful for you in your life is very, very, very unuseful, very, very lacking, very much, very schwach, very schwer. A person could have a tremendous amount of talent in the world. A person could have a lot of kochos and nefesh. And we'll talk about that soon. And if he doesn't have seder in his life, so it's like a person that has a map with sentences that there's nothing, it just doesn't do anything for him. It's Mishka Babel, and Mishka Babel is not Seder. And to live a life without Seder is to live a life with Mishka Babel. And I want to try to focus today, I hope, on talking about trying to be mechazik the focus of Seder in our lives. Most of what I'm going to share with you today is coming from Ali Shur, and Ali Shur in both volumes, in Chelek Aleph and Chelek Sheni, he has long descriptions. He's like sad, these aren't even alumni yet, and they're like already alumni. It's unbelievable. You still? Okay, two more days, fine. We'll let him come. Fine. So, the Ali Shur, I'm going to start with the second volume, and we'll try to talk about other important ideas over also. But in the second Chelek of Ali Shur, he begins his discussion of Seder with the following important point. And that's as follows. How does a person approach getting an enhanced seder in his life? What wants to do? What are the questions that I have to ask myself before I'm able to inculcate in my life a productive seder? So he points out two questions that a person has to think about in order to really get seder in his life. Number one, what am I aiming to achieve? What's my goal? Now this could be in many areas. I want to make a seder in my learning. So what's my goal? What's my idea? What am I yearning for, what I'm reaching towards, is the most important question you have to ask yourself. Seder in what? Seder in my life? That's a lot. But what's my objective? Where am I going to? Is question number one. that a person has to ask himself when he wants to try to achieve Seder in a very, very real way. Question one. Question two is, what can a person do to help actualize and realize that goal? I have my goal. Mashal, my goal is I want to daven with kavana. That's my goal. Okay, fine. What do I do? Tachlis, what do I do? Just tell me what to do. So the goal of a person living life with Seder is to go ahead and try to put those two things in tandem. To try to show how the goal, I have a goal, a clear goal in mind, in whatever area I'm talking about. And then, how am I going to achieve that goal? How am I going to come to that goal in Seder? And in terms of just setting your goals, it's very important to have the following understanding and appreciation. And that is, we have to know who we are. A lot of times we look around. This could happen wherever we are. We look around and we see our friends that are steiging, that are growing a lot. So I assume that, look, my friend is learning till 12 o'clock at night in yeshiva, so I should do the same thing. My friend is makbid on his starim, he's makbid, so I'm the same way. It's all good, as the expression goes. But for me, that's not really relevant. For me, that's too much. For me, if I push myself that much, so I'll fall prey to the category of tafasta maruba, lo tafasta. You try too hard, you set the bar too high, you're gonna fall. It'll last for a day or two, and then a few days later, it'll just totally go away. So on the one hand, tafasta maruba, tafasta. You have to know yourself. On the other hand, ki Hashem hu Elokim, b'shamayim mima'al, v'al ha'aretz mitachas. What does that mean? So the Bali Musar explained what that means is that when it comes to matters of ruchnius, b'shamayim mima'al, you look upwards. You don't set tiny, tiny little goals. You set high goals. You don't say, "Ah, look, I'm better than him." You know, I'm in a college, and there's I don't know, 10 frum guys in the college. There's a mashal, let's say, and I'm learning more than all those guys put together. So, I'm a seder. Or I'm in a college with tons of frum guys, but my room on my floor, I'm on the sixth floor of Reuben. Forget it. I'm like the Rosh Hashiva, sixth floor Reuben. L'chol adeis. I hope I didn't offend anybody just now. But the point is that b'shamayim imal. Yeah, of course, maybe you are, but go to the second floor of Mas and see how you fare with those Mas meetings and see if that's really who you are. So the most important idea in terms of setting the goal for yourself and trying to realize and actualize and attain that goal is knowing yourself. I have to set goals that are matim to who I am, and I have to go ahead and realize who I am, set the bar in a realistic goal, but also in a goal that is achievable, and a goal that's also gonna, how much here? And a goal that's also gonna be able to be accomplished in life. Okay, fine. So we have, and I'm really basically giving you a synopsis of Revolvi's vadim that he has on Seder over here. And he points out, before we move on to the second vad and the second point, he points out the following very, very, very important point. And that's as follows. Seder, which we're trying to work on a little bit today, is inextricably bound with the concept of ratzon. Ratzon is will. I'll read you just a line from what he says. He says, Seder me'id al ratzon, which means Seder, a person that lives life with Seder, that shows that his ratzon is very strong. V'ratzon amiti, and a real ratzon the person has, muchrach lizbate b'seder, must be expressed in Seder. If a person has Seder, that shows he has ratzon. That means that the ratzon that he has to live his life, whatever goal he wants to set out to accomplish, that's a strong ratzon. If it's not b'seder, if you will, if it's not acted out practically, that means his ratzon is just a little bit, could use some charging, some chizuk. But if his ratzon is strong, that will express itself in a real seder that a person has. In a lot of the yeshivas, and especially in Kolalim, more in Kolalim, there's something called Shmiras Astar. You know what that means? In two words, it means extra money. What does that mean? It means that seder starts, let's say, in a Kolal at 9 o'clock. So if you're there by 9 o'clock, and second seder starts at 3:30, you're there every day at 9 o'clock, 3:30, you get extra money at the end of the month on your paycheck because you're there on time. Shmiras Astar. That's a very nice concept. If you're an avreich and you're every shekel, every dollar counts, you want to be on time and make sure you accomplish that. But Shmiras Hasdarim is not something that's limited because you're going to get an extra dollar or two for Shmiras Hasdarim. Shmiras Hasdarim is something that if a person lives their life with, they can truly and totally achieve greatness. Now, don't look at me and say, "Ah, how do you know?" Because the answer is, I don't know. Because I'm not a person, I'm a schat ani masker ayom, and whether it's taped or not, and my wife shouldn't be upset at me if she hears me say this. This is an area that I, honestly, one of the reasons why I picked this is not only because it's very important to you, but it's very important to me. And as you move on in life, Rav Osai, and please God, you'll all move on in life, Shmiras Hasdarim does not get any easier. If anything, it gets harder. And you think, in college, how could it get harder than this? Wait till, please God, you have a couple of children in your hand at night, and you want to try to keep your Seder at night. It's not going to be so easy. After you came from home from a hard day at work, you woke up early in the morning to daven, and you came home from a long day, you're really tired. You got Kanayin Ahara, hopefully, cute little Kindle off on your laps, whatever. Little Yakos on your lap, whatever. And it's not push it. So, again, this idea of trying to inculcate a state in your life is extremely important. Extremely tell you with a person's ratzon, and it shows a person's ratzon. Ravalbi brings a beautiful mashal from the Simcha Zisl of Kelm. I'll give you the mashal. It was common. I don't know if it's common anymore. Maybe you'll tell me. You guys are more up to date. When I got married, so it was common to give your wife a present in the yichud room. So, and in those days, pearls were like in. So I didn't know that. My mother went to the store and bought me pearls so that I could give my wife pearls in the yichud room. Fine, shkayach. Thanks, mom. If I were to ask you, what's the most important part of a pearl necklace? So I hope you'll say. And it is?
The string, the latch.
Oh, who said the latch? What? Okay, because you guys are all Lamdanim. But the push-up shot, if you ask the diamond dealer, you ask the pearl dealer, of course it's the pearls. Push it. What's the string? String. The latch. So the Rav Simcha Zisl pointed out the following beautiful idea. And he said, stay there. It's like the latch. There's a little lock on the end of a necklace that holds all the whatever's on the necklace holds it in place. And Seder is a person is full of pearls. A person has kochos hanefesh, tremendous kochos. A person is a bal kishon, a person is smart. A person is a bal chesed. A person is so many things. What's a person? You can't describe a person in just a couple of sentences, a couple of words. But there's so many kochos in a person. And what gives structure to that person? What gives... Otherwise, without the clasp holding on to the pearls, the pearls can just fly all over the world and fly down and just fall down the tubes, because there's no makom for everything. Everything is just all over the place. Everything is just haywire, and there's no seder in a person's life. And the great kochos that a person has are not tapped into properly because a person doesn't know how to use them properly. Who's matzliach? So of all the rights, you know what's matzliach? The action. You know what an action is? A stubborn ox. Stubborn ox. He's an action. When I think of an action, I think of I have a brother-in-law. I hope he's not listening. He's an alumni of Torah Chiraga. Maybe I won't put this up on the site. My brother-in-law is an action. He's married now, Baruch Hashem. He's in Torah Chiraga before most of you, I think, in this room. I learned with him in Chavrusa. The kids push a stubborn ox. He says svara. Oh, come on, why are you saying like that? And he's right. And he pushes. And at the end of the day, the svara becomes much more pure, much more clarified, much more nizbare. Which person is the person who's matzliach to apply a seder in his life? It's the action. You know why? You know why you have to be an action? Rabbi David Shlita would call him, you have to be, what do you say? Stubborn like the Dickens, he would say. I don't want to use this expression so much, but the point is you have to be a stubborn ox. Why? Because more often than not in life, and we'll talk about this in a few more minutes, Mirtz Hashem, Seder becomes challenged. And Seder becomes unseder, and the unseder becomes the Seder. The lack of Seder becomes the norm. Like it's finals week. Like it's maybe a fresh point in some of your minds right now. It's reading week. What does it do? You know, I have a chavrusa. I'm dating. I'm dating. I'm dating. and there's the pregame and the postgame of the date, and then the Seder becomes the unseder, and the unseder becomes the Seder. And what happens to Seder then? And then, please God, beyond in life. What happens to Seder then? So who's matzliach avos? The action. The action is the person that tries to keep Seder. He tries, and he fails. And then you know what he says? But I need Seder in my life. And he tries again. And he fails again. And he tries again. At the end of the day, or a lot of days, and a lot of weeks, a lot of months, a lot of years, he comes out b'seder, and he's living his life in a total Seder type of way. I'll tell you a personal anecdote. I'm at a certain stage in life that's not necessarily the same stage in life as you guys are at. And before I go to sleep at night, sometimes even before that time, I go on Asa. Sometimes in yeshiva, I walk out of yeshiva, I say, wow, that was a great day of yeshiva. Others walk out of yeshiva and I say, it wasn't. And if I ask myself honestly, well, what's the difference between those days? Well, the answer is very, very simple. If it's the day that I kept my Seder, which is a little bit hard to keep as a Rebbe in yeshiva, it's true. I usually walk away from the yeshiva and say, that was the day that was Hatzlacha. That was the day that was Matzah. I felt good about the day. And if it was a day that a billion things came up and I was busy with this and that and this and that and this and that, and I wasn't able to keep the Seder in the way I wanted to keep them, usually, whether it's when I'm laying on the pillow or whether it's on the way back on the Hasa, wherever it is, oftentimes it's just a feeling of, I could have done more, I should have done more, I could have done better, I could have done in a more appropriate way. Seder Bosa is a very, very chashuv point in the person's life. The Seder in a daily Seder. The regimen. I'm in yeshiva. I'm in college. If I'm in a yeshiva, so then the Seder is pretty much determined for me. Seder starts at 9 o'clock. Seder ends at 12 o'clock. Fine, I have 3 hours. I had a Talmud last year in the yeshiva that used to like to talk about the pre and the mid and the post. There was the pre-hak, and there was the mid-hak, and there was the post-hak. And what was the Seder? It may even come to Seder on time. But what's the Seder? Seder is I come, and I come on time, and I learn when I'm supposed to be in Seder. And I do what I'm supposed to be doing when I'm doing it. And that's Seder during the day, during the weeks. And there's a Seder when there's off time. Like Ben Azmanim. Like now you guys came to Eretz Yisrael. And Friday. And Shabbos. And all those things in life, they could be with Seder or without Seder. Now many of you were in circumstances till you got to Eretz Yisrael that it was very hard to keep a Seder. I was pulled. And I had family obligations, and I had school obligations, and I had community obligations, and I had this obligation. But in Eretz Yisrael, we all remember that point in life. There's very, very few obligations here. Few to none. I mean, I don't know. It may be obligated to go get a little better food because you don't love the food in yeshiva here so much because you're used to a higher standard from wherever you're eating before you got here. The calf in YU is a little bit better than the calf in YU Israel. Okay, let's say fine. But I used to have pizzas every single day. Those pizzas in YU. That was my... What can I tell you? But anyway, I don't know if they still have them. They still have them there? Sure. Polish it. Yeah, but now that we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have very little challenge, little challenges to our Seder in life. And I think it would appear to me that now's a chance to get back into Seder. Now's a chance to make a Seder. If I'm here for 3 weeks now or 2 weeks now, so I have Seder. Yeah, I have things that people to see, I have places to go, but you know what? It's not going to become less of that when we go back. And once I'm on the topic of like non-regular time, meaning non like yeshiva time, like Ben Azmanim, so I'll say the same thing. Friday, Rabbi Osai, I think Rav Shach pointed out that Friday and Shabbos, in Eretz Yisrael, Friday is like Sunday. So in Eretz Yisrael, Friday, most people don't work on Eretz Yisrael on Friday. So Friday and Shabbos is 2/7 of the week. It's almost a third of a person's life. There are many people in the world that are very productive during the week. You gotta work, but Friday comes, crash. Shabbos comes, super crash. I gotta sleep. I gotta just, me and my bed gotta get to know each other again in a real serious way. And what are they doing? And I'll put myself in that category. What are we doing when we live our lives like that? So we are basically saying that, you know, 2/3 of my life is very important. But the other third, it's not as important, or I need some downtime. And I think a third of my life is a good amount of downtime to have. So Friday and Shabbos will, or Shabbos and Sunday will basically, you know, wash away, so to speak, Chas V'Shalom. And Chas V'Shalom, because that's a major, major part of a person's life. And to try to be able to keep Seder, even in that circumstance, is very important. And once we're on the topic, Rabosai, of non-Seder times, so the trick of a Baal Seder, fellas, is not only to have Seder when there's Seder, but the trick of a Baal Seder, says Avalbi in Ali Shor, is to try to find the Seder even within the non-Seder times. Which means what? Which means, I'll give you a mashal in my life, and there's a mashal more relevant mashal in your lives. I have a wedding tonight. I don't. You have a wedding. One of your friends are going to start getting married soon, Hashem. Some of them are getting married, some of them are engaged already. And you're gonna have weddings to go to. A lot of weddings. And now what's the state of going to a wedding? When does the wedding start? Start 6 o'clock. When does it really start? So when does it really start?
5 o'clock.
So I'll tell you when it really starts. It depends for who. It starts, forget Syrians, I'm talking about for us. It starts the pregame. I got to shower. I got to look good. I got to look nice. Going to chasana. Starts 3 o'clock, 3:30, I got to shave. Shine my shoes. I'm not saying to come to chasana, not look put together, chasana shalom. But a Baal Seder is not a person who if a chasana is 6 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, he's already, unless it's his own chasana, he's already in motion for the chasana. Because he's mesuder. His suit is already cleaned. He showered the night before. He's thinking ahead about what's to come. And therefore he's living b'seder. And he goes to the chasna because he's a good friend. And how long does he stay at the chasna? Depends how much of a Baal Seder he is. If Seder is not so important, it's a whole night affair. It could start at 5 o'clock when he leaves, and it could get back at 1 o'clock in the morning. And there went the whole night. My wife and I have a pact. This is different. When I was a buck, I didn't have this pact because I didn't have a wife. But now I have a pact. What's our pact? Unless it's a very, very close friend or relative, we don't go to a wedding till around 3 hours after the wedding starts. What's the pshat? What's the chesed? Look at me like I'm crazy, Shai. Give me a little time to explain. Let me explain. I think this is smart, and I've spoke to big people about it, and they concurred. Because my wife's 8 son, she's usually right with these areas. We used to have a lot of chasnas, especially in America, a lot of chasnas we used to attend. Baruch Hashem, we have children. And we need to go to a chasna. We're basically telling our children, have a good night. The babysitter will give you supper, put you to bed, and be there for you. But we have to go to a chasna. Now, if it's a very close friend, then we really have to be there to stay there. But there are a lot of times that we're invited to chasnas, that it's like it's our friends marrying off their children. The chasna kala don't know who I am. They don't care that I'm there even. I have to be there for the tish at the expense of my children. So we have a klal, and if you will refute this klal, I will be very surprised. The klal is that the first dance is never before 3 hours after the wedding starts. Think about that, it's crazy, but it's true. Wedding's called for 6, chuppah's called for 7, almost never will the first dance be before 9 o'clock. Do they need me there at 6 o'clock to roam with the shmorg? Maybe I need to be there for the shmorg, obviously. They need me there for the chuppah. I'm not the Masada Kedushin, I'm not an A Kedushin. There's 500 people at the chasana. No one knows if I'm there, if I'm not there. That's a question of stay there. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not saying I'm right or I'm wrong. Maybe I'll argue and say, come on, what do you mean? Let your children learn that you have to go out. I don't know. In my life, in my priority, I want my children to know that they came first before my random wedding that I was invited to, because my father's last name is Yudin, so they invited his children that live in Eretz Yisrael to come to a wedding. Whatever. That's a question of Seder. That's a priority in life. That's a question of trying to put things into priority. Revolvi brings over here a beautiful riot to this idea. That the out of Seder has to be the Seder. It says in Parshas Noach. Noach comes out of the Teva. What's the Parsha? Shout out. Hi, John. Ayachal Noach, Isha Adama, Itakarim. Noach, who was the Isha Adama, he went out of the Teva. What did he do? He planted a vineyard. That's by Yachel. Lashon of what? Who remembers Rashi, Shnai Mikra? Vayachal is Lashon of? Who? Says Rashi. Vayachal, Zot Rashi.
If you can only find it. Asa atzma chulin. He made himself chulin. Why? Sha'ila laso tchila b'netia acheres. It's fine to plant grapes, to plant vineyards, but the seder was off. The first thing you plant, Noach, when you come out of the teva is not a vineyard. That's inappropriate. That's lo b'seder. And when you're lo b'seder, says the Rashi, and says Rav Olmi based on this Rashi, you know what happens? You make yourself chulin. You make yourself chol. I'm not kadosh, I'm chol. What's a chol person do? A chol person goes and drinks. That's what he does for his off time, if you will. It was the downtime. Come on, it was hard. You think it was easy work being in the teva for all those months, feeding animals, getting bitten by a lion, not sleeping? Yom v'layla? It's off time. It's Thursday night after a long week. Give me a break, Rabbi. The answer is, I'll give you a break. You want a break? Break. Break with Seder. Break with Seder. You need to play ball? No problem. Build in time to your schedule to play ball. And now you're not just going with the flow. You're a person who's living life with Seder. There's welcome for ball in life. Believe me, I'm a big proponent of ball. I love ball. I wish I played ball more in my life. I don't have time. Maybe I should make more time. I need the exercise, and maybe that's a good time on me. But the bottom line is, Rabbi said, play ball, it's good. Play ball with Seder. Make a makom in your week, in your routine. For a ball, you want to swim? While you have a nice pool? Go in the pool. Geschmack. Make built in time. Friday. Build time. But I have a Seder on Friday too. I have a morning Seder. I have time because I build that into my off time, and then my off time becomes kadosh and not chulin like it was in the story of Noach. Abosai, there's another point over here before we get to some, I think, practical applications. I hope this is all practical. I hope it's not a waste of your time. He points out over here in the last Vad, of all he points out in over here, is that there's another parasha in the Torah which teaches us about Seder. And that's the parasha of Yifas Toa. Where's that parasha found? Kitetze is correct. At the beginning of Kitetze it says, Kitetze l'machamal evecha. And what happens? Hashem will give you evecha, v'yadecha, v'shavisa, shavyo. And Torah is matir what? Yifas Toar. Is she Jewish? No. Chazal say, lo dibra Torah ella keneged yetzer hara. At the time of war, a person's yetzer hara goes crazy, and Hashem, there was no yetzer. So I've only quotes over here from his Rebbe, probably the Alter, who suggested the following idea. What's the Torah teaching me by telling me that you're allowed to have a yifas toar at time of Chama? You know what the answer is? This is off time, this is downtime. But there's a state in the downtime too. How do you deal with the downtime? Whatever, anything goes? No, not anything goes. What's Seder? You build in, the Torah builds in a Seder for the downtime too. And that's the Heter yifas toar. There's no such thing as downtime per se. Downtime is part of my Seder. I need downtime. I have to chill out. I had a long day in college, a long day in yeshiva. I'm very tired. I need some time to clear my head. Great. I'm not saying there's no makom for that. You need that. That goes back to the first thing we said. You have to know yourself. Maybe you need a lot of that. Maybe you need an hour of that. Fine. Build it into your schedule. And then we go from being people that are just low beseder, people that are being beseder. And he points out a very strong lashon. He says a person's either beseder or a person could be miyuash. What's miyuash? Like yeish, despondent. You see, if a person has a seder, there's a makom for everything in life. And then no matter come what may, I can file that away to a certain point in my life. But if a person's living without seder, and then come along finals, and come along midterms, and comes along dating, comes along marriage, comes along children, comes along life, and we're living without a seder, how am I supposed to handle that? Too much, Rabbi. I can't handle that. They didn't teach me about this in yeshiva. They didn't tell me how to handle life. Well, we did. Maybe not while you were in yeshiva, but now when you came back. It's called Seder. It's called making a structure to our days, to our weeks, to our months, to our years, to our lives. And then come what may, there's no makom for yeish. Yeish, the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, yeish is shelo midas. Machlokes habayin and rav, whether it's have a yeish, lo have a yeish. But what does it mean, yeish, lo midas? When a person comes to a status of yeish, you know what that means? He is, the Bali Musa say, he's shalom midas. He doesn't have das. if there's das and there's structure and there's order in a person's life, there's no room for yeish. I have a place for everything. There's a makom for everything. Yeish, if a person came to that point, it's already at a state of shlomi das. I'm going to open the floor for questions for now on anything I said so far. And I'm going to shift gears if you have any questions. If not, not. If not, I'll shift gears to another important point, I think, that's related very much to this topic. Any questions, anything I said that you want to ask now? If not, yes, Shaya.
You said when you got the sleeping time, when when you got home and like, you decided how your day was, and it depended on if it was in Suda or not.
Right.
Did that depend on what distracted you from the state, if it was productive or not productive?
No. I'm sorry. I mean, yes. Meaning, what I mean is as follows. Like, if there were days that I didn't learn a word of Torah, but I was with a Talmud, and I was trying to help a Talmud out for the crux of the afternoon, I didn't have that feeling. But there were days that I was just, whatever, doing what I didn't have to be doing. My job in Yeshiva is to be for the Talmudim. So I try to do my job, whatever that means. So I don't really have, being a Rebbe is a different whole story about Seder, because it's very hard to have Seder when your job is to be for somebody else. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about days when it was like I was just, that's my personal point anyway. Okay, I'll call upon him. This is, I guess, section one. This is all from Ravali, basically. If you want to see it, it's found in Ali Shor Chelek Beis, from page Shin Yotes till around page Shin Chaf Dalet. Those sources are basically what I try to bring forth from him until now. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about other aspects of Seder that I think, are very, very important. Three or four more points that I want to make about the importance of Seder. One of my favorite Sfarim, some of my Talmidim remember this probably from the Shmuzin on Thursdays, one of my favorite Sfarim that I like to use for the Shmuzin is Alim Moshabech. It's a classic. Great words, great stories. So on this week's Parsha, actually, Parsha's Bo, here we'll be able to see the Parsha also. Throughout the Parsha. He quotes the famous Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch writes in the Pasuk, V'etzem l'sizbru bo. What's the rationale behind the mitzvah of not being not allowed to break a bone when you eat the Korban Pesach? So the Chinuch writes, V'gamzeh gazem en ha-shorash ha-nizgar. What's the idea behind it? She'en kavod of ne'melachim v'yo'atzei eretz l'gura ha-atzamos l'shavim ke'klovim. You don't eat like a dog. When you eat bones, you break bones and you eat. So you're eating like a chaya, like an animal. And a ben melech, as Bnei Yisrael of Mitzrayim, were taught to act like a ben melech and not to eat. Which means to say, not only in learning, like we spoke about a little before, and in davening, which is very important, but in every area of life, right, Bo said, there's makom for Seder. He brings over here a very, very nice maisa. How I eat? Do I eat mesudah or do I eat not mesudah? Do I eat in a way that's mechubad? Do I eat in a way that's just, whatever? I pound it down. He goes through a very nice maisa. The maisa, he tells over here, was, and there was a bunch of bachrim, a bunch of students, that used to go to Rav Zalman Meltzer. No, I'm sorry, they were sent from Rav Zalman Meltzer to the Saba of Slobodka. And he would tell them Musar. And afterwards, the Saba would go ahead and tell their Rebbe, Rav Zalman Meltzer, about the nature of these Talmidim. So they were by, there was students that were sent by Rav Zalman. They came to the altar of Slobodka. And the Saba went ahead and said, there's a certain bacher who was an Eloi, a goyish cup, a very, very bright fellow. And the Alter Slavaka said to Rav Zalman, this boy is not going to be Olal Gedula. And Rav Zalman was surprised. If you'd ask him, who's the one boy that's going to be most Olal Gedula out of all of them, he would have said, this boy. Said the Saba, when we gave the boys cups of tea to drink in the room, a little bit of the cup spilled out of his cup onto a napkin. That boy, this Eloisha boy, took his finger, dipped it into the sugar, and then dipped it back into his mouth. He doesn't have derech eretz proper. That's not how you eat or drink. I'm convinced, he said, that this boy is not going to be Ola L'Gedula. The kachava in the story. The kid didn't. I don't know if we're on that madriga. I don't know if something spilled over and we wouldn't, you know, I don't know, lick it up or, you know, scrape it up or whatever. But the point is that even the way a person eats and the way a person acts is very telling about whether a person is a person who is a Seder or not. Ravali brings, I can tell you this myself, I've seen this in my own eyes. The boys are both, and I hope not offending anybody at all. But I can tell you personally, I've seen it many times. I walk in the dorm rooms in the yeshiva, and I can see basically whose room it is from the guys in my share. The guys that are coming to Seder on time usually have a pretty neat room. Not always. There are some exceptions to the rule. But usually their clothes from like the past 3 weeks are not all, you know, on the bed in the room. Their laundry is pretty much done. Their bed looks, you can see their bed. You can see their floor. Because there are people that live with Seder. And Seder is not limited to the Beis Medrash. It's not limited to Ruchnia. Seder is limited to, it's not limited to any part of life. Seder exists in all parts of life. And I'll tell you a beautiful, beautiful smaisa. Rav Shlomo Zalman's grandchild once asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zaidi, what's the makom to be Olah Gedula? How do you do it? How are you so much tzliach to become a Gadol Ador? Don't we all want that on some level in life? So listen to what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. What an answer. It may sound like, come on. Listen to what he said. I'll tell you the secret. He said the secret is, you eat when you're supposed to eat. And you sleep when you're supposed to sleep. And you learn when you're supposed to learn. And that's the ingredients to become a Gadol Yisrael. Basically, in other words, he was just saying, keep Seder. Have Seder. If you have Seder, you have the clasp that'll keep all those kokos that Hashem blessed us with in line, and it'll make it look like a beautiful picture, a beautiful necklace. But if we're living without Seder, it could be the biggest Eloi, but it's not going to get you too far in life. Two more points. Point number one out of the last two. And this is very much related to Seder also. The way that a person, or a way that a person is able to grow in Avodas Hashem is Behadraga. Hadraga comes from the word Darga, Madraga, which means step by step. What's the Raya? What's the most classical Musar Sefer in the entire world? Silas Hasharim. What's the pattern of the Sefer? So the pattern of the Sefer, many Musar Sefarim pattern, the same kind of idea, is the Brisa of Pinchas Ben Yair, Torah brings to Zehiras, Zehiras brings to Zeriza, Zeriza goes to Nikias, etc., etc., etc. Avodas Hashem, Avosai, is a step-by-step process. And when a person goes step-by-step, rung after rung, so first of all, it's healthy, balanced growth, number one. And number two, he's displaying again, and he's living his life with Seder. A person comes into yeshiva, and he gets a good feeling. Ah, and what does he do? He stays up all night. Feel it. Ah, such good learning. What happens the next day? Sleeps the whole day. What do you say about that kind of person? A Seder? He was feeling it. So the answer is, it's low Beseder. Tarte mashma. It's not Beseder. That's not how you're supposed to be. That's not how you're supposed to live our lives. We're not supposed to jump rungs. We're not supposed to go and leap for stars if we're going to just miss steps along the way. Is it terrible? Is it the worst thing in the world once in a while to stay up Mishmar very late at night and sleep a little later on a Friday morning? No, it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, a person that lives with Seder goes step by step. There's a beautiful chazal. Chazal say that after the Meraglim, so what happened? Meraglim came back and they told Lashon Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe says, okay, that's it, you guys, done. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And what happens afterwards? There's something called the Ma'a Pilim. What do they want? We're going in anyway. And what language do they use? They use the language of Alonale. We're surely going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi on that pasuk brings from Chazal. Alonale means what? Even if you tell us to make ladders to go up to Eretz Yisrael, we'll go make ladders to Eretz Yisrael. I think it was also Leonard Shabbat, I quoted from somebody. What's the important ladders? Ladders? How do you get to Eretz Yisrael on a ladder? The answer is, any ruchnius that goes by jumping and not going rung by rung is not a lasting aliyah. It's a nice jump. It's like a trampoline. You know, you could jump high, really high, one time. But you don't stay up there for too long. Just come right down. And that, Abosai, is an aliyah that's not Peseder. And our aliyah that we try to strive for, hopefully in life, is an aliyah that has within it a Seder. That goes rung after rung, step after step, one at a time.
And that is, that's an aliyah that has an aliyah of Seder. And I guess I'm going to end with one final final point about Seder. And that's as follows. Rav Avigdor Miller, Zatzal, used to say, after he got older in life, he became at his 70th birthday, he looked till well into his 90s. At his 70th birthday, he gathered his whole family together and said, I have to just tell everyone something. What? I'm just telling you that my schedule is going to now increase. I have to start sleeping less at night. He said, you're getting older. Zaidi, Abba, Mapshat. He said, I have to get ready for the big test. There's going to be a big bechina. They're going to ask me a lot of questions. I have to get ready. And he began to sleep less and to chazer. And he was known wherever he was. He was at chasanas and he was at a family simcha. He got his hand over his mouth and he'd be like in the middle of Masechet Zvachim, chazing over. Gemara Rashi Tosfos, Masechtas, Baal Peh. He was a gonad and he was a mas minotzum. I have to get ready for the big test. I've always said before the test, before the big test, after 120 years that we're going to have in Shemayim, we're going to be asked a few questions. Before the test, before they start saying, okay, go, Masechet Pesachim, go. Okay, Masechet Kedushin, go. Kitten, go. Babasa, go. Before they ask us that, they can ask us a few questions, general questions, before they ask us specifics about the Masechet that we learned. And the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin tells us that the first question that they're going to ask us is the following question. A penetrating question. And it's as follows. Kavata itim laTorah. Which means, literally, did you set aside time for Torah? The Mefarshim HaMedayik, at the lashon of the question is not, did you learn Torah? Did you study Torah? Did you see the words of Torah with your eyes? That's not the question they're going to ask us. But rather the question is going to be, Kavata itim laTorah. Was there a set time that you had to learn? Did you set aside time? Some of the Mefarshim understand that question not only from the word set aside, but also there's a pasuk in Tehillim, the kavats koveim nafesh, which means to steal. To steal. You know what, fellas, in life, oftentimes, if you want to be able to learn, you have to steal time to learn. Not that you learn, you have to steal time. Steal. To be a ganav. You have to look for time, literally steal it, because if you don't steal it, the time is going to go somewhere else. And so the question I must say is, kavata itim haTorah, not did you learn Torah, but did you set aside time, or did you steal time for Torah? That question, fellas, to me, represents the idea that I've been trying to express to you over the past little while we've been sitting together. Which is, did you have a Seder for Torah? Did you learn with a Seder? Was it just like, okay, hi Gemara, here I am. What are you saying to me? Or no. I learned the Gemara once. I learned it again. I learned it the third time. I learned it with Rashi. Now I understand it. So many of us, myself sometimes included in this, we go through a Gemara, we read the Gemara, and we think we understand the Gemara, like the Rashba. But we don't. But we mamish don't. We're oftentimes so far off from a real Havana and a Sukkah. We think, yeah, I read the Gemara once, and I even read art school. And I even read the footnotes in art school. And now I'm a Gadol Hador. And by the way, we're not. And Kavata Itim haTorah means not do we have a casual relationship to Torah, but do we have a Seder in Torah, and do we learn with a Seder? Or do we just learn in a way that was just totally random? I had a Rebbe when I was living in America. The Rebbe of my shul was Rav Binyamin Forst. Rav Forst, you may have heard of, he was Mechaber of many Sfarim. He wrote the art school book, the Kashrus book, he wrote the red Kashrus book, the pink Kashrus book, and the blue Brachos book, and the green Nidah book. He wrote all those books. And if you look in those Svarim, you'll see a tremendous, an enormous amount of methodology that went into those Svarim. And he writes, actually, in the Hakdama to the Sefer on Kashrus, that he began to write the Sefer many times, and he stopped. He said, it's just too much, I can't do it. And then he pushed back and started again. And he started, and he stopped. And he started, and he stopped, until finally the book came to fruition. I was zocher for a few summers to learn his kola. He's the rabbi of my shul, and he had a kola in the summer. And for a few months and a few summers, I had this chus of learning his kola. And I saw where those farm came from. I want to tell you how you learned the sugya. I wish
There's no point in mapping on the board. It was the most biggest mussar in Seder and Shmiras Hastarim, we spoke about before, I ever saw in my life. Seder was 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock he was sitting down in his makom with the gemara open. But before that, we had a calendar. And the calendar told us every single day what we were supposed to do. And this is how it went. First day, Gemara. Gemara Rashi only. Second day, Gemara Rashi and Tosos. Third day, Gemara Rashi, Tosos, Rashba. Fourth day, Gemara Rashi, Tosos, Rashba, Ran. Everything mapped out. Which part of the Rashba was supposed to see? And how much, almost how much time and effort to spend on each part of the Sugya. And then we went through all the Gemara Rashi, Tosos, we showed him. And then we put that all aside, and we began with the Shulchan Aruch. First day, just tour Beis Yosef. Tour Beis Yosef, next day, Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Shach, Taz. And you became, the Sugya came alive. Because you were so beseder in the Sugya. You weren't just reading through a Gemara. Okay, this is a nice Gemara. It's talking something about Chometz, about a certain time of Chometz. Okay, this is great, Shkoyach. No. It was a Seder, Atzim, Nifla, Ma'od, in terms of how to go through a Sugya, how to approach a Sugya. And I learned so much about an approach to Halacha, about an approach to a Sugya, from being in this Kola. It was Seder, Nifla. Anybody here a Yekka? Where's my Yekka? Nas is a Yekka. Ari, thank you so much. I was about to pass out, so thank you for doing that. Nas is a Yekka, and Ari is a Yekki. Zach Stone's a Yekka. Chaim Moshe is a Yekka also. Beautiful. I both say, there's something we can learn from everyone in life. The Yekkas, I both say, teach us this. The Yekkas, see a Yekka. Watch a Yekka come to shul. See when he gets to shul. Yekkas get to shul on time. Yekkas get to their appointments on time. Yekkas do everything on time. A Yekki's middle name is to be on time. And if you're not on time, you're almost not a Yekki. Like it's a kasha on your yichus. If you're not on time, you're a Yekki. And you know what? There's a lot to learn from that. There's a lot to learn from that. And I think this midah, I've tried to speak about a little bit, touch some of the ideas behind it. This midah is a midah that if we internalize and we are misader into our lives, so our lives are going to be so full. And more important than our lives being full, our days are going to be so full. Our starim are going to be full. Our marriage, please God, one day is going to be full. The time we spend with our children is going to be full. You're right, you don't want to come home and say, okay, Mary, okay, your time is from 7:43 until 7:48, and if we go over half a minute, Mary, we're in trouble. That's not how you want to live your life. That's not, you have to build in some, you have to give her an extra half a minute if she needs like to tell you something about her day. I'm joking a lot. But oftentimes, I will say in life, it goes the other way, the other extreme. That there's no Seder. That is zero. It's a day off. What am I doing? I don't know, I'll see. I'll see what happens. I'll see who calls me, I'll see who texts me, I'll see who BBNs, I'll see what he's doing, I'll see what she's doing. Then, you know, I'll make up my plans. I don't know. Seder means to be proactive. I have a 12-hour period of time that I don't usually have. How am I going to fill it to the max? How am I going to make sure that I utilize the time, I prioritize what I want to do and how I do it? And again, if we do that, so our lives will be very, very enriched. I'll just end with the following story. I think it's, I read this recently. I don't remember all the details. But I remember the story was about Rav Yashiv Shlita. And I both said, if you're in Yerushalayim over the next few weeks, there's no excuse. I took my son Eli there last Friday to daven with Rav Yashiv on Friday morning. You can go any morning. 6:10 they start. Rav Yashiv walks in 6:15, like clockwork. 100 people waiting in the room for him to walk in. Everyone stands up. Rav Yishmael Omer, excuse me. Rav Yashiv says Kaddish. You can hear him. He says it. 101 years old, Leon Hara. It's an easy thing to do, and it'll be mechaya you. Rav Yashiv, one of the most amazing things that he's known for is the Shmiras Hastarim. I read a ma'aseh, I think it's in Bereish, I tried to find it before, I couldn't find it. But there's a group of people that came from Bnei Brak, and they were trying to ask Rav Yashiv a shayla. And I came to his house, this is when his wife was still alive, and they were trying to find his house in the back streets of Me'ah Shearim, and they couldn't find it. And they came to his door, and they were supposed to come there at a certain time. They were a few minutes late, and they said to the Rebbetzin, "We're sorry, we're late." She's like, "I'm really sorry, but if you miss my husband by like a minute, like forget it. Like every minute of his day is cheshbon out, really, 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 like to the T." So she said, "But if you run fast, he's davening Ma'ariv. He always davening the same Ma'ariv every night at 8:45. And if you grab him, you know, the minute Ma'ariv is over at 9 o'clock. I'm sorry, if you grab him like a minute before, you'll be able to get him as he walks from his seat in the Mesnedesh to Ma'ariv. And so get him at 8:45, and you'll be able to grab him for a minute as he walks to the car." And they're like, "Rabbi Yashiv's Seder is pretty beseder. Let's get there on time." And they're running, and they're running, and they're panting. And they get to this Mesnedesh, and they get there with like 30 seconds to spare. And they're watching the clock. And as the clock goes, and I don't think he was even wearing a watch, as the clock goes from 8:44 to 8:45, Rabbi Yashiv goes to the Gemara, gives it a kiss, and walks out to where he has to go to his next stop. Like clockwork. And they're standing there like, you know, dumbfounded. Not 8:44 and a half. Not 8:45 and a half. Seder Nifla. Seder Atama. A Yekesh a Yeke. The Yekes Rebbe. This, I will say, is the Midah of Godless. And this is a Midah which every person in his life can, I think, be mechazek in and enhance. And I think, myself included, if and when we enhance this Midah and try our best to enhance the Seder that we have in lives, so I think our lives, our days, our weeks, our months, our years will be much more enhanced and much more productive. We'll be able to come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after 120. And the first question he asks, "Kavati Matov," says, "Sure. I live my life with Seder. I'll show you where my Seder was. From X to X. Kavati Matov." We should be zocher to live our lives with Seder to the best that we can, and hopefully to maximize the great pearls that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in our lives, and to wear that necklace proudly with the clasp tightly locked, keeping all the pearls in place and using each pearl to the best of its ability. I both have a wonderful Shabbos.